For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, so tonight what I want to learn is a very fundamental morale, not on a Kabbalistic level, just on a more rational level, discussing one of the greatest difficulties, contradictions, in one of the more essential elements of all of Torah, which is Kabbalah Satorah. This is the Parshas Yisro of Kabbalah Satorah. And we have in it the famous phrase of Naaseh V'Nishma. Klal Yisrael is given the opportunity. It's a phrase which literally the Gemara describes as standing in our corner and as a schus for Klal Yisrael, that we were makdim, Naaseh L'Nishma, we will just do, and then we will hear. Chazal described the Gemara that when Klal Yisrael said Naaseh V'Nishma, the Malachim came down and they put two different crowns on their heads, one for Naaseh, one for Nishma. And we, of course, are familiar with the Medrash that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to the Jewish people, he went around to all the nations of the world and he said, "Would you like to have my Torah?" And they all said, "What's in it?" And each nation, one after another, rejects it. But Klal Yisrael says, Naaseh V'Nishma, we're in. We're in, we will do, and then we will learn, and all the way down to Rav Hirsch, who has a whole beautiful piece in terms of this is the embodiment of the Jewish people of we're in, and then it's just a matter of course we're going to learn, and of course we're going to study, of course we're going to question, of course we're going to try to figure it out, but it's all in the context of, but I'm doing it. And,
not what about the part of God holding the list?
I was just going to say.
That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
Okay, that's exactly the issue we're talking about. Very, very complex issue. So we have Naaseh V'Nishma. And Naaseh V'Nishma, again, I'm only introducing it with it because it is fundamental that Klal Yisrael was willing to say that. It's not just children's stories that we hear in preschool. It is. The Chazal described the Malachim coming down and crowning Klal Yisrael because they were able and willing to be Mekabel B'Ratzon Kabbalat HaTorah. And we find in this week's Parasha the other equally famous Medrash, which is completely contradictory to that idea, which comes out of the Psukim when the Torah describes, I don't have it in front of you because this morale was so long I just couldn't get it all in. But you're familiar with it, so I'll just say it out loud, and you know this anyway. Vayibayom Ashlishi Vihios Haboker. It's the third day. They're kolos. They're rocking. We have the cloud. We have the thunder and the lightning and the anon kaved al hahar. They can hear the kol of the shofar. Vayotze Moshe Asam Lekrasa Elokim Min Hamachane. Moshe brings all the Jewish people to greet Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Vayisyatzvu Betachtis Hahar, and they gather Betachtis Hahar. Rashi says, what does that mean? The word tachas is at the foot of, at the bottom of. They gathered at the foot of the mountain. And I want to stress this point because it's important to understand the contradiction here. The contradiction is not in the Chumash anywhere. The Chumash says, if you're a literalist reading Pshat, mm-hmm. What's Klal Yisrael's response? How does it look? It's Naaseh V'Nishma. It's a Kabbalah B'Ratzon. It's all we're in. What about the Tachtis Ahar? They gathered at the foot of the mountain. Nothing special here. Please disperse. There is nothing to see here. They gathered at the foot of the mountain. But Chazal see in the gathering at the foot of the mountain something completely different. The Tachtis Ahar, Rashi quotes, which you're all familiar with. Medrusho Rashi quoted, not exactly the language of the Gemara in Shabbos, which the Maral will quote. We'll see it inside. Shenitla Shahar Mi Mekomo. The mountain was uprooted from its place. V'nichva Aleim Kegigis, and held over their heads like a barrel or like a funnel, whatever it may be. Bottom line is, Chazal paint a picture as if Klal Yisrael is looking up and the mountain's over their head, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says to them, "Inta Kablu Es HaTorah Mutar. If you'll accept this Torah, it's great. Vinlav Sham Tehek Furosram, this is where you will die, this is where you will be buried." Now, again, the Pasuk just says, Betachtis Ahar, they're gathered at the foot of the mountain. Chazal see in this such a drasha. The problem created by such a drasha, it's one that we have drashas from Chazal every week, that's what we're learning morale, we're learning drashas from Chazal, it's always a gadata. This seems to go completely against Well, the Pesukim describe a Nasa v'Nishma. Chazal make a huge deal about Nasa v'Nishma. It's Kabbalah Satorah. It's Klal Yisrael willingly saying, we want it, we're in. We don't even know what it says we want it. And then we find Chazal are pulling out of this Pasuk that it was complete coercion. It was, you're going to die if you don't do it. Asks the it's not Gemara's question. Tosfos already asks this question in the Gemara and says, wait, but they said Nasa v'Nishma. What's with the holding their mountain over there? So what I'd like to do is we'll take a look at the Maral. Maral has a fascinating and a fundamental piece. When you talk about taking this esoteric question and putting it into our daily lives, the Maral is going to do that for us tonight. And what happens with it? Okay, so let's take a look. So the sheet that you have beginning on page Ayin Ches, it starts in the middle of a phrase, but again, I didn't photocopy the whole page because this phrase is like this. Tosfos asks, Hikshua Tosfos, Harei Kvar Omru, then from the sheet that you have, Nasa v'Nishma. Tosfos asks the question, we already have Nasa v'Nishma. What do we have? This coercion, this being forced, this holding the mountain over the head. Lama Hotzeruch Laza Tirtzu HaTosfos. The Tosfos answers, the Maral is not going to go with this at all, but just to begin our discussion. So Tosfos says, maybe they were afraid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid that they would be chozer. They would renege on their commitment of Nasa v'Nishma. They were going to see this big fire. Their neshamas, as Chazal described, left them because of the power of what was taking place. And therefore, they needed some form of coercion. Tosfos sees that they were afraid, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid that the Nasa v'Nishma wouldn't hold up in the face of the magnitude, the fear, the power of that which was going on. That's Tosfos' approach. And Maral says, Ein daiti noicha b'firish, that laughs us, kol zuchus Yisrael she'kdima Nasa v'Nishma la'ayin. Shiyachzrum is a chusam hagadol. Shai ledori doros. I don't understand this chus, which we still talk about today. Ledori doros of Nasa v'Nishma really didn't do it. They lost it already on the spot. 2, 3, 4, however many days before it was gone. Can't be. He says, I don't understand how that would work. That we just threw out Nasa v'Nishma and that the whole thing wouldn't have happened if it wouldn't have been for being forced into it. See, Maral then spends time because Tosfos is Tosfos.
Not so long after that either. I mean, let's be real.
But we still talk. No, but then that problem is that. But Chazal still talk about Nasa v'Nishma as if it's such a schus. It still seems to stand in our stead. So Maral then spends time trying to work out what Tosfos means, which is not for us tonight. But he's troubled by the simple meaning of Tosfos and tries to explain it. But if you're interested, you could. It's there. But I didn't underline it, so I could highlight what to look for if you are interested. Okay, let's take a look at how the Maral addresses this point. Maral addresses on two levels. Aval ha'ikar ha'perish ha'shenir poshut, says the Maral. That which I think, again, everything in the Maral is, it's poshut. How else can you understand it other than what I'm about to explain, and it's going to take me 500 words to try to explain this very simple concept, is as follows. Kikiba le'mahar kigigis lomar, the holding up of the mountain over their head, is to say, in lo tekablu ha'tayra sham tehekivuroskam. If you don't accept it, this is going to be your burial ground. As he's quoting from the Gemara in Shabbos, that's the language. Lomar ki ha'tayra hi hechreches lekabla. The point of holding that is to say to the Jewish people, there is no other option other than Kabbalah Satara. It's hechrech. There is no option. You cannot survive. You cannot live. The world cannot exist without it. And I'm going to demonstrate that to you by holding this mountain over your head. So if you don't accept it, you will die. And I need to express that concept that there's no existence outside of Torah for you. You can't exist. As he explains, V'yadua, kidvorim hamuchrochim lihios, things which have to be, heim chashuvim b'maylo yoser. They're on a higher level, a higher madrega, she'i'efshem yibaladon, because you can't have it any other way. Ve'ein kiyum l'nimtza b'zulasam, and there's no existence without it. For example, water, air, those are things which are bad. We cannot live without them. Chocolate cake? Nice. Like it. Would prefer a life with chocolate cake than a life without chocolate cake, but I don't have to have it. I have to have my air, I have to have my water, I have to have my basic nutrients, and then there are things which are really sweet. So where does Torah fit on that spectrum? Where Where is Torah for the Jewish people? Is it your air? Is it our water? Or is it our chocolate cake? Is it something which is really great and life is so much better with chocolate cake than without it? Or is it the air we breathe? Says Maral, the idea of holding the har over their heads at the time of Kabbalah Satorah is, you can't live without this. You can't. You will die if you say no. And the point of that is expressing to the Jewish people, there is no other option. Lekach kipa aleihem ha'har kegiges lehodia maila satorah. So when they look up and they see that, that's letting them like, oh, I get it. There is no life without this. She'i efshar mivalada klal. Now, hold off on any questions you might have. Let's please finish this first thought, then we'll get to the second thought. So what would have been the option? What would have been if he didn't do that? Let's say he left it at, so to speak, Nasa v'nishma. Says the Maral, ki ha-Torah ein hechrechis le'olam. We would have said correctly that the existence of Torah in our lives, that the concept of a Jewish people with Hashem's Torah, is not hechrechis. It doesn't have to be. The Jewish people wanted it. They decided it would be good for them. They looked at a life without Torah. They looked at a life with Torah, and they said, you know what? Family time with Shabbos is nice. I like it better than my other option. I'll never see my kids. They'll be texting the whole day. They'll be playing with their friends. This works. This lifestyle is nice. I like it. We want it. We choose it, we're in. Why are you in? Because you like it. That was the other option. If it wouldn't have been for a mountain over our heads, so then it would have been the Jewish people's choice. They looked at it and they said, Ribbono Shel Olam, if you're selling it, we probably think it's the best lifestyle for us. We'll take it. In the Maral's language, Rak birotzim kiblu aleim, v'im lo kiblu, lo hayu tzrichin, and if we didn't want it, then we would have continued on without it. And what would life look like? It would have looked like life, just without Torah. Take a look at the nations of the world. They have a life, right? They don't have Torah. So we would have the same thing. Says the Maral, let's take a break with that for a second. So says the Maral, step one, why is the Ribbono Shel Olam holding a mountain over our head? To completely inculcate within ourselves the idea, there is no option. You can't live without this. This is the air you breathe. It's the water that you exist on. It's not chocolate cake. That's something that I'll take it. It's not something you can take. It's not something you have an option. It's not something you can decide to do. It's something that there is no existence. It's the classic Rabbi Akiva fish out of water example. You can't live without it. And that's expressed with the mountain over their head. Now Chazal see that in the Pesukim. The Pesukim only tell us Klal Yisrael's response of Nasa V'Nishmah. We want it. We're in. Beratzon. We take it. And Chazal see in the word B'tachta Sahar another message that the Ribbono Shel Olam held the mountain over their head and said, you can't live without this. Finishing up this first thought in the underlined section, L'kach l'Hashem Yisvarach mefatu miratzo sam kodem. You find that Hashem, so to speak, pleads with the Jewish people to accept that beforehand, and then Maral quotes the Pesukim, which he says, it's in 2:46, I don't have it underlined, Atem Re'isem Asher Asisi Bim Mitzrayim, all the things that you've seen that I've done, he shows them that it's going to be worthwhile, but the Kashero She'ikr Nisinoth Al-Yedei Kfiya Sahar, that's all nice that he wanted them to accept it, but there was this ikr giving of the Torah was through force, through coercion. Their only conclusion that they can reach was there's no other option. So they cannot, could not possibly have any type of kiyum, any type of existence, any type of survival without it. This is the only way that it can possibly be. If you look at his language in 2:44, again, it's quoting from other sources, it's nice to see how he talks about it in different places. And Maral describes in 2:44 in the bottom there, Aval Mashikipa Aleim Ahar, Shelo Yomru Yisrael, Anachnu Kibalnu HaTorah Me'atzmeinu. We would have otherwise said, we did it. We decided to accept the Torah. Vimlo Hayinu wrote, and if we didn't want it, Lo Hayinu Mekablu Mata, we wouldn't have taken it. V'dover zelo hoya mailas ha-Torah. But that would then totally negate the essence of the reality of what the Maila HaTorah is. Ki HaTorah kol ha'olam toliva. The entire world is toli on the Torah. The next piece of Torah, which I didn't underline, is where he describes it. Rashi quotes on Vayera Vavoka Yom HaShishi, the hay of the Yom HaShishi was the Tanai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets into motion with the Bria Sol, and that says, you should just know, today's the sixth day, we're at the end of the 7 days of creation, but it's all hinging upon the Jewish people accepting the Torah. And if they don't, then the whole thing is going to be Chozer L'Tohu V'Vohu. I only created this world for Kabbalah Satorah. So therefore, you needed to have this Har to imbue the Jewish people with the idea, it's not up to you. It's not that you decided to take it, so you should pat yourselves on the back and say, we did it. But if we didn't want it, we wouldn't have it. But we would still be here. No. If you didn't take it, you wouldn't be here. Because you can't exist without it. And that's Maila Satorah. That's teaching the Jewish people the significance of what it is, that it's the water you drink, it's the air you breathe, and nothing else besides that. So far, so good? So step one is this hechrech, this idea of total coercion, of you cannot live without that. So what the, yeah?
I still don't understand that the message for us to get is that it's not a choice, it's necessary for our existence, or was there an actual mountain there, or was Hashem just giving them a message just so they should know that this is necessary?
Right, so this Chazal,
I don't know,
but what we do know is the message that Klal Yisrael got was, you cannot survive without Kabbalah HaTorah. Whether or not they actually saw a mountain, that would be a whole other discussion, Hedel or Nagadata. I'm not versed enough to say in this case, yes, this case, no. The message is clear, Chazal are saying, at Kabbalah Satorah, there is a clear message to Klal Yisrael, you cannot live without this. This is the air you breathe. Which leaves us with part two, what do we do with Nasa
V'Nishma?
So where's the Bechira? What happened to our we want it.
If they still wanted it, but now they're just getting the message that it's good you want it, but I'm just letting you know that
you really have no choice.
That it's a good choice because otherwise it would be really bad that they still chose it.
Excellent. So here we go. So this is how the
Maharal
is going to address it in terms of there are two competing concepts, powerful and significant, that are going to work simultaneously, which, as I said, are not just going to be esoteric, but are going to be literally nitty-gritty down to our daily lives. So step one, says the Maharal, is the idea of you cannot live without it. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to express to Klal Yisrael was that idea of this is the air you breathe. It's literally the air you breathe, and if you don't accept it, the whole world will go back to Tohu Vavohu. And it's behechrech, ones, gomor, complete coercion, mounted over your head, you're going to die if you don't accept it. Okay. So now what? I took it because I was going to die. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara asks this question. The Gemara says, starting in the underline on the left side of the page, Afilu hachi kama rabba. The Gemara then in Shabbos follows this up with, Mikan modo rabba le'oraisa. Wait a minute, says Rava. If that's what you're going to tell me, you're going to dash in betachtis sahar, that there was this mountain over their head, and they accepted it with complete coercion, well then we have a great way out of keeping Torah, says Rava. If you look at Rashi in the very bottom of the page, Rashi's language is in the Gemara there, Modor Rabba Loraisa, Shem Yasminim Ladin, if we ever get taken to a court, in the heavenly court, Lom Elokiyam Temashiki Baltim Aleichem, you didn't keep that which you accepted upon yourselves, Yeshvam Tshuva, Kiblu bonus. What do you mean? Yeah, I said I'll take it. But I said I'll take it because you told me I was going to die. So I said yes. And then you're going to hold me to that. That's not real. So the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara asks, now that you told me that they were forced into it, then what value is that? There's no value once you're forced into something. That's a premise that runs all through Torah. Someone who's forced into anything, there's no value to that. So Rava responds, Rava answers this question. Rav answers this question on the top of your next page, top daf pei. Rav says, "V'kamer, I'm sure you're familiar with this from your Purim Torah. The Hadar Kiblu Aleihem Bimei Achashverosh Tichsev Kimu V'Kiblu Kimu Mashe Kiblu Kvar." All right, you familiar with that? Some of you heard that. Okay, now let's understand what this means. The Gemara says they accepted it beratzon because they accepted it again
later on
in the times of Achashverosh. the time of the Nes of Purim, that which they had originally accepted.
And it wasn't forced?
Not
no.
Mm-hmm. So, but anybody that sinned in between them can go back and say, hey, look, it really...
Separate question.
Yeah.
Fair question. But hold on to that question. Separate question.
No, but this reaffirms...
1 second, we're not finished with this explanation. Hold on. Hold on. What does this mean? Says the Maharal as follows. Perish. Shall you mikavlum aleihem mitzvah achas mi mitzvah satora dikriyas hamagila. They accepted upon themselves a new additional mitzvah. The afagav de ein kan onus. And here there's no onus. They're completely out of danger at this point. And they willingly now take upon themselves a new mitzvah. Veheim me'atzmam kiblu aleihem. On their own, instituted and accepted this new mitzvah. Vekevon deheim me'atzmam hiskimu la'asos mitzvah zos. And since they on their own took upon this new mitzvah, zeu kabolos kol ha'torah. So now they're re-accepting the entire Torah. She'eich yosifo od mitzvah im ha'rishonim e'mukrocham aleihem. You wouldn't accept something new if you don't even accept the old. The fact that they're accepting the old, or I should say, the fact that they're taking upon themselves the new, is therefore lefikach kabbalas kriyas hamagila hu kabbalas haTorah beratzam. In his language, in his understanding, says the Maharal, the fact that they're willing to add more is an indication that they're willing to accept all of it beratzam. Now, I don't want to spend too much time. At Purim time, we could explain this little nekuda as to how that works. But let's right now take that at face value of if the whole thing were really forced and they didn't want anything part of it, then they wouldn't take upon themselves new things. The fact that they're taking upon themselves new things is a willing of something else. He brings an example of apartment in the footnotes. There's a halacha. If I have a field and my field is surrounded by four neighbors and there's open fields and this neighbor puts up a wall, so do I have to pay for the share? He put up the wall because he's got a field. He puts up a wall here. And I benefit. Do I have to pay him for this wall? The answer is no. Doesn't benefit me at all. My field's not enclosed. I got three open sides. And he put it up for himself. Then this neighbor puts up a wall. Do I have to pay him for that? So Allah says no. Because I still have an open field. He did it for himself. I don't benefit anything from it. And my third neighbor puts up a wall. Do I have to pay him for it? The answer is no, because anyone could still come in out of my field from the fourth wall. Then I put up the fourth wall. Now what? Says the Gemara, you put up the fourth wall? You have to pay all three for their share of the burden. Because now, you just demonstrated, you're in, you want it, you like it, you're happy with it, pay your burden, pay your share. You can't then ride on their coattails. Calls mine, you weren't getting any benefit from it and didn't demonstrate that you care about it at their wall. It doesn't help me. You put up the fourth wall, you pay for the other three too. So the Maharal uses that as an explanation of, you took upon yourself Mikra Megillah. You got enough stuff. You're going to claim that you're forced into that, and now when you take that on, then you're now saying, we're into the whole package deal. We buy it. Be that as it may, we'll leave that for now because of the next part which we need to get to. Now, what's the significance of that? Says the Maharal as follows, V'im lo hayazeh, had it not been that we had Mikra Megillah, which is now going to be a re-expression of the Naseh V'Nishma, hayamoda araba, there would be this great excuse, lomar, ki kabbalah satar v'hachrek, that the entire thing was forced. V'hadvorim ha-mukhrochim einam be'etzem. And here we have this fundamental problem. Anything you're forced into is not part of your essence. If you had to be forced to do it, this is the first right. We know this in our lives. We know this with our children. We know that if I have to force you to do it, you're not really interested in it. You don't want it. Why? How do I know you don't want it? Because I had to force you to do it. If I didn't have to force you to do it, then I know. You're connected to it. The fact that you are forced means you're not connected to it. Says Morale, we have a fundamental problem here. If the Torah is such greatness, it's such a milo, that the Ribbono Shel Olam has to demonstrate to us how great it is, that it's the air we breathe, that there's this mountain over our head, but we lose something extremely significant with that. Because now it was forced. And now, the fact that it was forced says, we're not really intrinsically connected to this, because if we were intrinsically connected to this, there shouldn't be any force, there shouldn't be any coercion. But there was a massive coercion, because the Torah is so great, it required it. But as soon as the greatness of the Torah required the sentiment of you can't live without this, and where is that coming from? It's coming from the Milas HaTorah, but it's there. So as soon as I can't live without this, well then, I don't have a choice. And as soon as I don't have a choice, well then I'm doing this because I'm forced into it. Well then, there's no etzem, there's no connection to the essence. Ulefikach, im hayu overim haTorah, yuchlu lomer, ki ein haTorah roi lios liYisrael v'etzem. That's why we would have an excuse. If we'd be over on the halachas of the Torah, we would say, it's not a shayach to us, because we were forced into it. Ki hadvorim hamuchrochim einam be'etzem. He brings in an example of this. So if you look at footnote 258, which I have underlined on the bottom of Eretz Yisrael, Atem b'chisem b'chia shel chinam, and yikoveh lechem b'chia l'doros, referencing the famous incident with the Meraglim. Says the Moral in this language, Ki kol ha-dvorim hativim mishtoikikim el mekaimam hativi. All natural things have this yearning or desire to be in its right, correct, natural place. There's a draw. This feels right. I belong here. V'im hoya ha'aretz liYisrael makom tivi. If the Jewish people would have related to the land of Yisrael like their natural place, v'hayu mishtoikikim el ha'aretz, with a yearning and a desire for it, hoya nishar ze nitzchi. We would still be there today. Aval hoya kan hetach. But what happened was the exact opposite. Shebochu b'chi ashal chinam. They cried. What they did when they cried is they said, it's not our place. And therefore we are not there now today. We are still suffering from that. There wasn't this natural blending, this yearning. You cried over it. So you put this barrier, you won't be there forever. And also the exact same thing. Well, wait a minute. But Torah has to be part of our kishkas. But as soon as you force me, you're saying, it's not part of my kishkas. He brings as an example, Ein chidushim ya'avru ha-Torah. There's nothing novel if we don't keep the Torah. She'im ein ha-even omeid ba'avir. If a rock doesn't float mid-air, Ein chidush. There's nothing new. That's not its nature to stand there suspended. Somebody's holding it there. As soon as you drop it, let go of it, it falls. That's what hechrech means. I'm holding it up. So if there's this kipalem harkigigis that's sort of, so to speak, holding the Jewish people up, well then, there's no chiddush to say that we didn't keep it. We'd come up to Shemayim and we'd say, what do you want from us? This is not a natural thing. We don't relate to Torah. It's not part of our genetic DNA, our spiritual DNA. Kasher chidshu Yisrael mitzvah achas min ha-mitzvos. But when Klal Yisrael were mechadesh, one of the mitzvos, Kriyas Mikra Megillah, az nire ki ha-Torah lo hoya ba-ones klal v'dover hachrechi. That's Megala. That when they said Nasa v'nishma, that was from their tzad, from their perspective, we want it. It was not forced. Raki ha-Torah lehem be'etzem gamkin. We are naturally connected to it. V'af al-gav shehoyu muchrochim t'chila. Aye, we were forced. Zek Moshe amarnu l'mailo. That's because of the mailo of the Torah. Ki yi'efshar zula, said there's no other option. Aval ha-Torah gamkin mitzad shi Yisroel roi lehem ha-Torah mitzad atzmam. Harei ha-Torah li-Yisrael mitzad ha-no-sein she-rotzibazem mitzad ha-mekabel she-mishal. This last line, let me speak it outside, let me read it back inside. There are two simultaneous things happening at Kabbalah Satorah, fundamental both. One is mitzad ribon shalom, and one is mitzad klal Yisrael. There's Kabbalah Satorah, and there's Nisina Satorah. There's a giving of the Torah, and there's a receiving of the Torah. From the ribon shalom's perspective, it has to be behachrich. It has to be that you understand. There is no option. That's coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective. You have to see this. You have to know the air you breathe. It's the Maila Sator that there's no other existence in life other than that. But there's an entirely separate perspective happening simultaneously, which is Klal Yisrael's perspective, which is we need this. Not because you are forcing it on us, but because we want it. Be'etzem, we're connected to it in a way that says it's a makom tivi. It's a natural connection, which will be revealed Purim time with Megillus Esther, but really happens with Nasa V'Nishma. Except, when you look at Nasa V'Nishma, which is Kleisler's perspective, and then you look at the Har Kegigis overshadows that. So it's not until the Purim story that becomes revealed, that at Nasa V'Nishma, it really was their own Ratzon and not being forced, but they were forced. But they weren't. It's just too complex, because they were being forced. And once they're being forced, you can't get out of it. They were forced. But they weren't forced, they said Nasa V'Nishma. They were forced. Megillah proves that there were two things simultaneously happening. They wanted it. It was part of their etzem essence, part of who they are, and they had no choice. I'm hard pressed to come up with like an example for that. It's like hard to come up with. I'm sure we can come up with one in which you literally feel you have no choice, but you really want it. I guess if we would say, like, let's just say, like, chocolate cake was the only thing you had to eat in the entire world. So you would say, I really like it. I really want it on my own, and I have no other choice. I will die without it, so I have to have it. Something like that. But it's happening simultaneously, says Maral, and they're two completely separate things. One doesn't negate the other. What he's addressing with this is the way that Tosfos seemed to have answered the question was as if the being forced, because the Nasa V'Nishma had it either ended or wasn't strong enough, you needed this. And Maral is coming saying there are two things. Kabbalah Sotah was a complex moment. It was a moment of the Ribbono Shel Olam telling us, you have no choice, you will die without it. You have no existence without Torah. Simultaneously, in which Klal Yisrael is saying, we want this. Without being for it. We have to. But they both have to be there. Because it can't be that we on our own say we wanted it. Because then that would totally relegate the Torah to something that we chose. Which it's not. But it can't be something completely where we were forced. Because then we're not connected to it, and we'll have an excuse. So it has to be at the same time, both. Mm-hmm. It's hard to deal with those both at the same time of, this is the fish in water, I need it, I can't live without it, and approach it in the sense of, I'm mekabel atayr, I want it. V'chol yom yubeinecha kechadashim, I'm mekabel every day. It's Pashut and complex all at the same time. And one thing is, that's what Chazal are describing when you read the Psukim, and it's Nasa V'Nishma, Nasa V'Nishma. It's all about Klal Yisrael's perspective of, we're in, we want this. And Chazal is saying, but you need to know, don't ever just read the Psukim and think, well, we wanted it, but if we would have chosen not, we would have been just fine. No, there's no such thing. It's Kipolim Har Kegigis. You couldn't exist without this. You can't lose sight of that, Chazal is saying, in the drush of Betachti Sahar, of course you accepted it, and you did, and at the same time, you can't live without it. So it's complex, and what I was saying in terms of like daily life, this is it. This, you know, you want it, you don't want it, it's they're both true. There is nothing better, there's nothing sweeter, there's no better lifestyle, there's no, that's all true, I'd want it, I'd choose it, and I'm an Eved, I don't have a choice. And you struggle with both at the same time of, why do I have to do this? Because. There's no other answer. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam said so, and the sense of, Nasa V'Nishma, Lo Yom Hashem Shema Tzavah V'Nasa Kavah V'Nasa Shalom V'Nasa, because there's Ava, there's Yir, there's a lot.
It's such a parent-child relationship, right then, it's right there, what you just said. Because, parents always say, why? And, you know, I mean, the child says why, and the parent says because I said so.
Correct. Except at the same time, the child doesn't then have to say, and I want it.
Oh.
That's what we're doing.
We have to do that.
Right? In other words, the parent saying, eat your broccoli. Why? Because. And then the child has to then say, I really want this, but I feel it.
Right.
That's complex.
I love it, yeah.
That's hard. And at the moment you start saying, no, I like Shabbos, it's really nice. But then, wait a minute. Don't ever get too much to the perspective of, this really works for me, because I have to. Al Tshuva, who is convinced that this is good, it's the best thing for them, is missing a significant element of It's not because you like this really works. You were at someone's Shabbos table and you're like, wow, it's so nice. Sitting with their family. I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying that's not complete.
I understand.
That's not complete. That's what the Milas HaTorah is. You can't live without this. You think you're living right now because you had this life for the first 25 years of your life without it? It's a fish out of water. And that's exactly, then it's exactly what you're like.
That's a very sophisticated way of 100%. Thinking. So, you know,
I mean, do you think about that every day?
No.
Right. That's the thing.
You're doing it. Why?
Because that's what you're doing. Exactly.
Correct. So that's a third level. That's not because I think this is really good. It's not because I have to. Because that's what I do.
Unfortunately, you try to knock yourself, you know, say hello, okay, you know, like stop.
The complexity of this chazal of Kip Aleim Har Kegiges B'Tachtis Sahar is the complexity of those two things simultaneously all the time and being aware of them. Of Nasa V'Nishma, and I have no life without this. I can't exist without this. It's not simple. It really isn't to be living in both.
The average Jew from Jew does not necessarily have this.
I don't know. I hope it.
Maybe they do. And
I'm saying. I'm saying the Maral is addressing this.
You know,
this is the week where he'll, you know, you'll hear the Divrei Torah on Kip Aleim Har Kegiges. You'll hear Nasa V'Nishma. So is there other approaches? I mean, this is the Maral's approach to these. The Chazal is in conflict with the Pasuk, which Tosus asks already. Pasuk says Nasa V'Nishma. Chazal say they were forced. It's a problem. Which one is it? So they're Vortlach. There are lots of Vortlach out there. It's a lot of sophisticated approaches to it. I'm sharing the Maral's approaches. They are both simultaneously happening, and they're both completely contradictory at the same time. Because if it was not Zivinishma, it's not forced, you wanted it. And if it was forced, it's not Zivrasna. And they're both happening at the same time, and they have to both be there. Because there's the Maila Satora that says, you can't. And then there's the connection, the Chibur Be'etzem to something that says, if I'm forced, it's not mine, it's not me, it's not who I am. But this is who I am. I have to want it. And so when we go through our lives, it's dealing with, I want this, I'm connected at the deepest core of my being to Torah, and I know, at the same time, I really don't have a choice.
And just by accepting Megillah, that means they accepted everything else? I mean,
right, so that was
really,
so that was the point that we didn't spend much time on. So that's the idea.
You have to wait for Purim now.
What about,
That's the idea of when you take that fourth wall say, like, I want this.
I don't like that wall.
I thought the other neighbor put the wall up and he had to pay.
We do.
That's the exciting part of the story.
Right.
If the last neighbor put it, I mean the fourth, so he hasn't done anything.
One wall, probably not.
Because he does benefit from
that. Right, benefit, but he wouldn't have to pay for it.
Right.
I mean, I don't know exactly the law for this, but certainly when he puts up the fourth wall, then he has to pay for all of them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
We have expression of this in other places, like when we talk about Hashem's tefillin say one thing and our tefillin say another.
Yes,
thing.
It's two different perspectives on things. Yeah.
It's the same idea. It's understanding how deeply we're connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Well, I put it going the other way. There are different perspectives. There's from Hashem's perspective looking at us and our perspective looking at him. That we find. You know, this is, like, from his perspective, you don't have a choice. From our perspective, we have to want it. But they interact with each other. In other words, his telling us we have no choice means we have to take it.
Because otherwise,
the world would be a chozo la tova vo.
But yes, we need to want it.
We can't, and in the sense that you understand what that means, that you really will not exist.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Right? But it's literally saying you have to decide, I want to breathe because I willingly choose it, even though I know if I don't, I die. That's a complex model.
Well, let's say somebody's about tshuva in this day and age. So, like, okay, 2014, they decide. I know that I'm oversimplifying things, but it's not so difficult to get both of those parts. Because if you look at the world around you, then you understand, like, oh, I'm a Jew, and I should be doing this. I have to do Torah because look what's happening to the rest of the world. So clearly,
right? But that again, that's not it. In other words, that's saying I'm choosing this because they're like falling apart. It's not that. That's all the nasa. That
no,
thing.
No, I'm saying a different thing. I'm not saying clearly what I mean to say. Like, because they don't have Torah, it is you choosing it, but it's also you understanding that a person can't live.
Wait, what do you mean they're living fine for 3,000 years? Ask them.
Okay. Every day.
Why? We don't have 4 million people becoming from every day, running from the world around us.
I would say for Rosh Hashanah, it happens faster. That it says, oh, this is so beautiful, and then it becomes an understanding we can't think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Reality can't think about this.
Okay.
Right, so I leave you with that, though. I think it's very relevant daily in terms of working through both at the same time. Feeling the milah satora of, it's not just because I like it, it's not because it's my lifestyle, there's a milah. It's real, it's significant, and it has to be. And I'm deeply connected to it because I want it. And happening at the same time. We'll pick this up to next week, Kevin. All right, have a great week.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.